1 Timothy chapter 6, and we will be reading from verses 6 through 12. 1 Timothy 6:12. Before we get into the message, just a little bit of, you could call it a preamble. Have you ever heard the people say, some people are never satisfied? You hear that? It's true, some people never are satisfied. We sit in our houses watching news on TV or the internet, as we see another story about someone who has committed some kind of crime to get ahead, and we smugly shake our heads with this thought, some people are never satisfied. We get pretty smug about that ourselves sometimes. Look at that person. They had it all and they wanted more and they didn't do it the right way and they got caught. God, I'm sure glad I'm not like that publican over there. I'm so glad that I'm so good. Then we click away to something more amusing, perhaps feeling better about ourselves as we realize that we're not like that. Yet just this month, most of us have seen or heard the news of the utter devastation in Japan, where entire modern towns have been wiped right off the map. The people have lost their homes and everything in them. Most of us have seen the images of the despairing faces of people who suppose that they have lost everything. And in other news, we hear of people living in modern cities where suddenly there is chaos, rocket attacks, bombs falling from the skies, neighborhoods being blown to pieces. What if that happened here? You think about it. Libya, right now. Oh, it's just some place, people that ride camels in the desert. It's not. Those are modern cities that are getting bombed to smithereens, just like here. It's no different from here. Think about this. What if you lost everything you now possess? What if you suddenly, like those people who were 1 minute working at their jobs in Japan and the next minute running for their lives, followed by a wave that took away their jobs and their homes, perhaps even their family members, what would you do? How would you feel? Our passage today warns about being like a drowning man, washed under waves of destruction and despair. Are you in danger? Could you be like a drowning man? The title of our message today is Drowning Man. We'll look at our passage now from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 12. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out with it. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Drowning man. The world values ownership of personal property, tangible goods, things you can hold in your hand, look at, use, enjoy, or simply claim ownership of. Hey, I got a pile of gold bricks in the storehouse somewhere. There's a saying that goes around in the world that the one with the most toys wins when he dies. I'm here to tell you right now that he is a drowning man. As we read in our previous passage, last week in verse 5, he is destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. God says, from such thinking, from such teaching, to withdraw yourself. For such teaching is perverse, foolish, corrupt, filled with trouble, fighting, arguing, envy, and gossip, based in pride. And as we see today, it drowns men who believe this way in destruction and perdition. We're going to have several points we're going to look at today if you're taking notes. Our headings. Number one, godliness with contentment is great gain. Number two, if I'm going too fast, tell me. Number two, you came in with nothing and you leave with nothing. Number three, food and clothing are enough. Number four, chasing riches will drown you. And number five, what do we do? And then our conclusion. First of all, godliness with contentment is great gain. Our starting verse. There is a saying in the world that money does not buy happiness. But some would say that it makes your misery a lot easier to bear. The way of the world. But this statement, godliness with contentment is great gain, goes back to the very beginning. It goes back to Adam and Eve. When God created Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they were perfect. They were completely dependent on God, and they were content. We've got it all backwards in this world today. And our so-called science, we'll look at that in another week, by the way. We're very close to that in this passage today, but our so-called science gets it all backwards and tries to say that we're getting better when in fact we're getting worse. And the funny thing is, as we continue to teach this idea that we're getting better, we also teach the idea that you should be more and more independent. I'll tell you something to think about. If you want to know what God's way is, one of the simplest ways that is usually accurate is look at the world's way and then choose the opposite. The world is always wrong in its thinking. And the fact of the matter is that when God created Adam and Eve, they were perfect. God said, this is very good. Everything He did, this is very good. Adam and Eve were perfect. They had perfect bodies, perfect health, perfect intelligence. They were more intelligent than we are today. And they were totally dependent on God. They weren't independent at all at that time when they started out. They were dependent on God. And they were content. Why were they content? Because they depended on God. And they were happy with everything they had. They didn't want anything more at the time. Before they sinned, Adam and Eve were godly. They were content. They trusted God completely, and they had everything they wanted all the time. How would you feel if you were like that today? Wouldn't that be great if you had everything you wanted all the time? That was before sin. Our wants are a little skewed now. The simple definition of contentment is having everything you want. If you want more than you have, you will not be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Secondly, second point today, you came in with nothing and you leave with nothing. You didn't bring anything with you when you came into this world. This may sound like an obvious statement, but what it means is that you did not add any material wealth to this world when you were born. There was no net addition of stuff when you came into this world. Some people seem to have this idea that they would say, even though they're ungodly, they're thinking that they're God's gift to man or something like that. But you didn't add anything to the net material in this world when you came into this world. You did not increase the material wealth of this world when you came into this world. You came into this world naked and looking for stuff. But you didn't add any stuff. You had no stuff when you were born. I like that word, stuff. That's a good King James word. Stuff. Don't go back for your stuff. What you have right now, at this moment, whether you know it or not, is what God has given you.
Right.
That's where it all came from. Whatever you have. What makes people think they should have more? Why are so many people always trying to get more stuff? When you die, all the stuff you gained while you were here is worthless to you. It doesn't help you. You came here with nothing, and you leave here with nothing. That brings us to our third point. Food and clothing are enough. Here in North America, we are spoiled perhaps more than any other area on earth. We are spoiled rotten here in North America. I find it amazing where I get a newsletter that tells me about suffering in another place in the world, how terrible it is, and I can go into a church here in North America and hear somebody complaining about how their rights have been infringed a little bit. Up with that. Over in other places in the world, they haven't got any rights and they haven't got any stuff either. And a lot of them don't have clothes or food. We're spoiled. Not only do most of us have plenty of food and clothing, but we also have houses or apartments to live in. We've got beds to sleep in. We have endless running water. We have entire wardrobes. We have cars, TVs, computers, games, vacations, bank accounts, etc., etc., etc. What most of the world sees as luxuries, we see as necessities, and we get all stressed out if we don't have them.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? The fact is that if you have clothing to keep you warm and food to nourish you, you have enough. And in fact, you probably have more than a lot of people in a lot of places. I'm just talking to somebody the other day about Brazil. Everybody knows Brazil, this is modern country. You know, the President of the United States has just been visiting down there and talking about what a wonderful place it is, and it's this great democracy and all this kind of stuff, and they've got all this stuff. Of course, he was in the capital city. But you go into the out into the farming areas and things like that for years and years and years in Brazil. I haven't checked recently, but just giving you an example of how things are for some people. For years and years in Brazil, this so-called modern city, people have worked for the wealthy landowners in their sugar plantations, men with families, living in shacks they put together out of straps that they can drag out of dumps in order to earn enough money to buy enough millet. Anybody here ever eat that stuff? Try it. To get enough millet to have one meal for one day for the family. And they consider themselves blessed if they can have one meal for themselves and their family one day. Millet. That stuff tastes terrible. Try it sometime. Go buy some. You can buy it here. We can buy anything we want here. But they can't. The fact is that if you have food and clothing, you have enough. And everything else really is a luxury. Trust God and be content with what you have. The reality is, God has been so good to you. If you have more than food and clothing, you have more than you need. God gives you food and clothing and air to breathe, you are blessed.
Yeah.
You're very blessed. And you're blessed more than a lot of people in the world. You have more than that. Wow. It's no wonder the world looks at this area and wants to come here. Because we have so much. food and clothing are enough. Our fourth point, chasing riches will drown you. This is back to our title, Drowning Man. Chasing riches will drown you. 1 Timothy 6:9, that verse from our passage today says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." While godliness with contentment is great gain, chasing riches will drown you in destruction and perdition. If your time is being focused on getting rich, you are a drowning man or woman. You're burying yourself under the filthy waters of vanity, filling up bags with holes. You ever hear that from a Bible? You read that passage in the Bible, a bag of holes. I preached on that a while ago. A bag of holes. What good is it? It's like a man carrying about his riches with a bag of holes. A bag that's got holes all through it. And you put in your gold, it keeps falling out the bottom. Guess how well you can swim with a bag of gold, by the way? Not very well. Fill up bags with holes with great heaps of nothing. It's vanity means nothing. If your sights are on wealth instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a drowning man, suffocating under the waters of destruction and spiritual ruin. That's what perdition is. Spiritual ruin. What ends you in hell. You're desperately searching for you know not what and never satisfied with anything you find. That describes so many people in North America today, searching desperately for what you know not and never finding anything that you want, because you're never satisfied. 1 Timothy 6:10, again from our passage today, says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. Did you notice that? It says, "The love of money is the root of all evil, for which some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." What a warning. A drowning man pierced through with sorrows. You just imagine a person with these spears going through them as they drown. What an awful way to go. That's what it's like spiritually, like that. And again, note that our Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. It is the misplaced love for money that is the root of all evil. Money is a tool, just like a shovel or a hoe. And loving money is just as stupid as loving a shovel or a hoe. I love my shovel. Isn't it beautiful? I just love this so much. Is that stupid? What about my hoe? Oh, look at this beautiful hoe. Loving money is just as stupid as loving that. Actually, loving money is more than being stupid. It is the root of all evil. That's what the Bible says. At the bottom of every evil in this world, you will find this ugly, idolatrous love of money. You look. You watch the news, look for it, you'll find it, it's there. Anything terrible you see going on, look for it, you'll find it, it's there. It's the love of money is at the bottom of the evil that's going on. The love of money is somehow inseparably involved with every evil that man can imagine in this corrupt world that we live in. It's misplaced. It's horrible. Loving a tool in place of loving God. You see, there's the terrible thing about the love of money. You're loving a tool instead of God. That's the worst kind of blasphemy that there is. So, what do we say today, Christian? If you covet after money, if you're making money first in your life, you have erred from the faith. If you make that more important than anything else, see, what I have to make a living. If you're putting that first, you have erred. There's a question for you. I'm not asking anybody to raise their hand. I'm asking you to think about it. Question. If you're sick, think about this. If you are sick, what are you more likely to miss? Work or church? You stay home if you're sick from church so that you can be well enough to go to work? I've been guilty of that. If you put making money first in your life or even going to work ahead of obeying God, then you have erred from the faith. Your priorities are turning you into a drowning man or woman. You have pierced yourself through with many sorrows. Another question for you. Do you ever feel like no matter how hard you try, it doesn't work? Are you drowning under a sea of debt? Are you overwhelmed with sorrows and stress? Where are your priorities? Think about it. Who are you putting first? What are you putting first? We may say that we do not love money, but what do our priorities say? Again, the question, are you a drowning man or woman? Well, that brings us to the next point, the question. So what do we do? What do we do? 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 and 12 says, But thou, O man of God, here's the answer, But thou, O man of God, flee these things, run away from them, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Flee all these things. Get away from the pursuit of gain. Flee from it. Do not allow the love of money to take hold of you, drowning you under destruction and spiritual ruin, piercing you through with many sorrows. You know that God has promised to take care of you? Trust God. He has promised to take care of you. He said, I'll give you everything you need. And the truth is, as we talked about earlier, here in this country and North America and the Western world, we have everything we need, and we usually have a whole lot more too. Work is good. That's something that God ordained from the beginning. God gave work to Adam. He didn't just plunk them there and say, okay, sit here, and I'm going to send some angels to come serve you meals and just take care of you. No, no, he put them to work. Work was good. It was a blessing. It's sin that made work so difficult. There's nothing wrong with working. It's when you are using it because you love the wrong things that it's a problem. That's where you become a drowning man. And flee from that. You don't need to worry about what you're going to eat. You don't need to worry about where your clothes are going to come from. You don't have to worry about shelter. You don't have to worry about anything. Nothing, 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 nothing. Trust God. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You could sit on the side of the road with nothing if you had complete peace in your heart and it wouldn't bother you a bit. We get stressed because there's no peace in our hearts. The opposite of peace is stress because we're fretting about things all the time. There's no need. Trust God. Flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. These are fruits of a spirit-filled life. And that's what we need. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Those spiritual fruit are being produced in your life. You will find you have contentment. You'll find that you have peace in your life. You'll find that, wow, this really is great gain. These come from having your eyes focused firmly on the Lord Jesus Christ and putting Him firmly on the throne of your life and planting your feet firmly on the narrow road of heaven. That road is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. He is the way. There's that broad way that everybody's following that leads to the lake of fire that hurts you all the time. The way of the drowning man. And there's the narrow way that is Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life that comes by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And don't be a drowning man. Submit to God and live victoriously. You can't live victoriously without submitting to God. But submit to Him, live victoriously. You will be content when you submit to God. See, that's what Adam and Eve did before sin. It just came naturally, and they were content. Be holy as your Father in heaven is holy, and be content with what God has given you. Let your light shine before men so that they give glory to your Father who is in heaven. But you're not saved yet. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who came as a man, who died for your sins, who was buried, who rose from the dead, you're in big trouble. I'll tell you that right now. If you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in big trouble right now. You need to recognize that the Bible says you are a sinner. The wages of sin is death, and you're on your way to hell in the lake of fire for eternity. And God's not going to force you to change. He's not going to force you to change the direction you're on. God doesn't do that. He gives you a choice. He doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to stay on that path. He wants you to be His child. But you need to turn to Jesus Christ right now. You need to trust Him to save you and give you eternal life. He already paid the price for you, and there's no need, there's no reason at all for you to go to hell. Going to hell is like when a man walks up to a starving man with an apple in his hand, and he holds that apple out. Think of that as the salvation that God's bringing to you, and he holds it out to a starving man. And this, what does the starving man do who desperately needs that apple to survive? He goes like that, and the apple falls on the ground. It's there for you right now. It's not hard to find. It's not hard to get. It's a gift. And He's holding it out to you right now. He says, take the gift. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And He will take your sins away. He's paid for them already. And give you eternal life. It's a gift. If you haven't done that, you need to trust Him and accept His gift of eternal life. The alternative is too terrible to think about. Christian, you need to take stock of where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ right now. Is Jesus Christ your friend? Is Jesus Christ your friend? Amen? That's good. That's good. Is Jesus Christ only your friend? Someone you think of now and then who pulled you out of a major jam and continues to pull you out of the jams you get yourself into? You need to make Him Lord of your life right now. Put the Lord Jesus Christ on the throne of your life right now. That's what our passage is telling us today. Get your eyes back on Jesus Christ and off the temporary glitter of this world. It's all vanity. It's useless. Jesus has promised to look after you. Now you live in obedience to Him. John 14:21, the words of Jesus Christ. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If you love Jesus Christ, you will do what He asks you to do. you will obey his commandments. So the question in closing today is, do you really love Jesus Christ? Then show it by what you do. Let's stand for prayer.